Alright, guys. Welcome to Truth Hurts Radio. I'm still getting a commercial in the background for some reason. I don't know if that's going over the air as well. Nevertheless, it's pretty distractive, though. I don't know. I don't know if they can do something about that back in the studio. I'm trying to get a word here from the Pal Talk room, if that's coming through, but I guess there's a delay, so they can't even tell me. All right, guys. Welcome to Truth Hurts Radio. Happy Wednesday. Wow, I'm actually getting my... All right, something funky's going on here. I'm hearing myself. We got some technical glitch going on here, guys. Sorry about this. Wow, this is really bizarre. I'm getting myself feeding back to myself. They're asking me if I have a player open back in the studio. No, not that I can see. This is really strange. Wow. Now, everything I just said several minutes ago was repeating back to me. I have no idea why this is doing that. Maybe I can call in at the studio. This is crazy. Well, I know one thing. I didn't get my headphones plugged in on time. I got them plugged in a little bit late. I don't know if that's got something to do with it. This is really strange. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll have to just deal with it. And then during the break, I think I'm going to hang up, and I'll have them call me back. This is very strange. I don't know if this is coming over the airwaves, but it's really driving me nuts. Anyway, guys, let me go over a quick few announcements, and then we'll get back into our discussion on the Trinity. We're going to be continuing with our... long marathon on the Trinity. Okay, I guess it isn't coming through on the air. It's just me that's getting it. It's just really bizarre. I must say, I'm very much annoying myself. Hearing myself, this is weird. I mean, it's like a 2 minute or a minute delay. It's really bizarre. All right. Anyway, the Aaron Russo DVD, guys, Freedom to Fascism, still available here at RBN for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. I tell you what, I'm just going to mute my sound, and that should take care of it. Of course, I won't know when the commercial break comes. I'll have to be checking it periodically, but in the meantime, that does help get rid of that annoyance. Anyway. But the Aaron Russo DVD, Freedom to Fascism, $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. You can get that by dialing 800-724-2719 or by going to republicbroadcasting.org. You can order there through PayPal. Or you can send your check or money order to the RBN office, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302 in Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If anyone's interested in hearing, in reading my study on the Trinity, It covers everything that we're going to be discussing here and have been discussing here on the broadcast in a lot more detail. You can get that by going to lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. And just type in my name, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, and you'll get all of my books coming up, and you'll see the name of the book is Who is God? So click on that one. You can order it that way. If you search for Who is God, for some reason it doesn't come up on the first page. You've got to go through several pages to find it. I don't know why that is.
You're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796. Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling...
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Truth Threats Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. I finally figured out what the problem was. Oh, man, am I out of it today. Problem is, I was so tired, I didn't get to bed till late last night. And, of course, I got to get back into the routine of the kids going to school, getting up at 6 in the morning. And I was so tired that I just took a nap a little while ago. And, of course, when I do that, my brain isn't functioning to its optimal capacity. I'm not so sure it ever is, but that certainly wasn't the case. It still isn't the case now. And so I totally forgot that I was logged into Pal Talk. I had it running in the background, and I forgot to put the room on mute. So that's what I was hearing. I was hearing the delay of my voice in the Pal. Oh, jeez, man. All right, anyway. And I'm over here thinking something's going on with RBN. Anyway, we're back, and... my mind is somewhat a little more conscious now from my nap. Hopefully we won't have any more mess-ups like that. All right, guys, let me continue on. In fact, I want to whip this into high gear here because the past couple of days I haven't been making too much progress, getting a lot of calls. But by all means, callers do call in. But we had so many calls yesterday that I got held back a little bit and wasn't able to plow through this like I wanted to. There's so much ground to cover. I don't want to bore people with this, but at the same time, Well, I hope you don't find it boring. I think it's quite interesting. Again, even if you're not religiously minded, this is something that, you know, when you're talking about exposing lies, I don't think you can limit it to any particular area. And this has very much to do with politics, by the way. That's all organized religion is politics. It pertains to deceiving people, keeping them in the dark, manipulating them. And I think this has a lot to do with the New World Order, because the New World Order is going to involve a world religion. And this world religion is going to be Trinitarian-based. It's the one thing that unites all the big-name churches. They all believe it. They've all been indoctrinated and inundated with it. And as I said before, this is the number one requirement, if you will, for being a member of the World Council of Churches. You must be a Trinitarian church to be a member of the World Council of Churches. Now, that should cause you to start wondering right there. And the fact that this is used as a basis for disfellowshipping people, determining whether or not you're allowed to hold membership in a big-name church, again, that should make you question the legitimacy of this thing. And I'm telling you, folks, I know there's still some listeners out there. Probably most Trinitarian listeners have turned me off and aren't listening right now, or probably will never tune me in again, which is pretty pathetic. Like I said yesterday, you know, these people, why don't they, you know, address me head on? Why don't they confront me? Why don't they call me in? Why don't they send me an email and discuss it directly with me instead of calling RBN behind my back and complaining to them? My position has nothing to do with them. Why aren't they confronting me directly? I'll tell you why they don't. Because they can't, and they know it down inside. They're playing the same game that 9/11 official story defenders play. They'll name call, they'll demonize, they'll talk about what a heretic you are behind your back to others, but they won't confront you directly because they actually do know down inside they're wrong. They will not intellectually acknowledge that to you or to others or even to their own self. But the fact that they will not confront people like me who can argue the thing and prove it wrong proves that they're not so secure in their position and at least suspect that they're wrong. They are wrong, and we're really going to prove it now. If what we have discussed the past 2 days hasn't done that, you wait till you see what we're going to be talking about today. You think I've already proven the Trinity wrong, and hopefully you can see I already have. The Bible doesn't teach the Trinity, and you don't have to believe in the Bible. As I said, you can think the Bible is a bunch of poppycock, but all as I'm trying to show you is that the Bible, the book that these Trinitarian hucksters profess to follow, does not teach the Trinity. The Bible is very consistent about who God is. It's very clear about who God is. And it does not say God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says God is the Father. As we've been talking about the past 2 days, it makes it very clear. Not only that God is the Father, alone, singular, one individual, but it makes a very sharp distinction between God and Christ. Christ is someone entirely separate from the Father. And if I haven't made that point clear already with what has been discussed thus far, that's going to become abundantly clear today. Okay, guys, like I said, this is the issue I got fired over. I went through a lot of hell over this. And so I take personal pleasure in ripping the lid off this thing and exposing it. Because these big-name churches, these huckster, religious, corrupt, corporate, steepled corporations have been getting away with this garbage for way, way too long. And as a caller said yesterday, this is foundational. Once you tear this thing open, the whole thing comes crashing down because you expose them for the idolaters that they are. They're peddlers of false gods. All right, let me continue on with other verses that talk about Christ being the Son of God. Not God himself, but the Son of God. Sorry, Trinitarians, you can't be both. You cannot be the Son of God and be God at the same time. John wrote, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 20:31. That Jesus is who? The Son of God. Did he say Jesus is God there? No. Neither did he say it anywhere else. Neither did any of the other biblical authors say it. I really would like to get a call from a Trinitarian today but I doubt it. I didn't get any calls from Trinitarians yesterday or the day before. Here's another one. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwells in him and he in God. 1 John 4:15. Isn't that interesting? Because they will say that if you don't believe Jesus is God, you're not a Christian. But John here says only those who don't confess that Jesus is the Son of God do not dwell in him. He didn't say here you had to confess that Jesus is God. Where do they get off saying you must say that Jesus is God when the Bible never says that anywhere? Who is he, John says, that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 5:5. John makes the point here again that we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Not God, but the Son of God. I actually do have a challenger on the line. I'll get to that call. Please be patient for a few minutes here. It's an old friend of mine. let me just go through this slew of passages here written by John. John says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. His Son, not their Son, his Son. And who is this his? We identified him yesterday as the Father. He that believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:9 to 13. Do you see how many times he makes, he's being repetitive here on purpose. He's screaming out at you. You must believe in God, that he sent his Son. You must believe in the name of the Son of God, that God sent his Son. He says it like three or four times in this passage, making it very, 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 very clear that the Son of God is someone separate from God. I could just bang Trinitarians' heads against the wall because they're so dense. But at the same time, I guess I can't blame them because they've never looked into this really for themselves. They think they have because they keep parodically repeating the same propaganda that's been shoved in their heads all their life, but they've never really studied into this in any significant detail. But it's not there, guys. When you undertake a detailed study and really dig, you'll find it's not there. Let me just read a couple more real quick, and then I'll go to our caller. Before being baptized, a faith-filled eunuch professed to Philip that he believed Jesus to be the Son of God. Here's how the passage reads in Acts 8:37. Philip said, if thou believe with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was the requirement to be baptized. You had to profess that Jesus was who? The Son of God. You didn't have to profess that Jesus is God. But Trinitarians today will tell you, oh, to be a member of our church, to keep your names on the list, you must profess that Jesus is God. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. All you had to do was profess that Jesus is the Son of God. I read a passage yesterday where Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's right, Peter. No man has revealed this to you. My Father has revealed it to you. My Father, who is God. My Father, who I am the Son of, who you just said that I am the Son of. That's the one who revealed it to you. The one who is God, my Father. He didn't call Jesus the living God. He called him the Son of the living God. The living God, the true God, is the Father. Do you understand? Jesus said to the Father in his Gethsemane prayer, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. He called his Father the only true God. Not himself as well, not this fictitious being called the Holy Spirit. His Father and his Father alone. When we get back, we're going to talk with a Trinitarian who lives in this Trinitarian fantasy world, who wants you to believe that God is schizophrenically comprised of three persons, but he's not. It should be interesting. Back, folks.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio, where we're laying it on the line, exposing more lies, not only with the government, but a whole lot of other avenues of society. Organized religion is one of the biggest, in fact, I'll argue it's the biggest avenue of lies, and the Trinity is the biggest of the biggest lies. Before I go to the caller, one more quick passage here. Paul preached to the Jews that Christ is the Son of God. Acts 9:20, we read, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." You recall yesterday I read several passages where we find that the Jews wanted to have Christ put to death, not because he claimed to be God. They never accused him of that. In fact, on one occasion, they seem to have been accusing him of that, and he made it clear right up front that he was not professing that at all in John 10:33-36. I quoted that yesterday. And he said, "Haven't you read where God calls his children gods? Yet I am claiming to be the Son of God, and you want to stone me for that?" He was making it clear. I'm not claiming to be God. I'm claiming to be the Son of God, and you want to stone me for that? And then we find out later that at his crucifixion, sure enough, the Jews said, "We want," well, right there on the spot, in fact, they said, "For good work we stone you not, but because thou, being a man, makes yourself the Son of God." And then later on, of course, at his crucifixion, the same thing. They said, this man, we have a law, and this man ought to be crucified because he makes himself the Son of God. He makes himself equal with God by claiming to be the Son of God. So they understood what he was claiming to be. Not God, but the Son of God. Jesus never, never, never said he was God. Isn't that strange? If he was in fact God, don't you think he would have at least once mentioned it? Don't you people know who I am? I am God come to you in the flesh. He never stated that once. Neither did any of his disciples. Oh, there's a few obscure passages where they try to make it seem as though, you know, that he was saying that, or that the apostles were saying that, and we'll look at those later. But understand, there's only a small handful of those, and there are mounds of other passages that make it clear that he could not possibly be God. If you're taking notes, there's a few others to look up that Paul wrote. Romans 1:9, Romans 5:10, 1 Corinthians 1:9, 2 Corinthians 1:19, Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 4:13, Hebrews 4:14, Chapter 6, verse 6, 10, verse 29. It just goes on and on and on. Always, always, always we find Christ being referred to the Son of God, Son of God, Son of God, Son of God, Son of God. Not God, Son of God. You understand? You cannot be God and be Son of God at the same time. You cannot be God and sit at the right hand of God at the same time. You can't be God and be the mediator between God and man at the same time. You can't be God, which the Bible says, who the Bible says cannot be tempted, and yet the Bible says that Christ was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. How could Christ be tempted if he's God? God cannot be tempted. Hello! Hello! All right. I promise, somehow, with the strength of God Almighty himself, I am going to try to maintain composure discussing this matter now with my good friend Reader in Texas. I'm going to bite this leather piece of leather strap here real tight while she talks. How's it going, Rita? Have you seen the light yet, Rita, with the Trinity? Uh-oh. I don't think Rita's coming in too clear. Are you there, Rita? No. You got a bad connection. Tell you what, Rita, why don't you hang up and try calling back? For some reason, you're just not coming in at all. Maybe that's divine intervention. I don't know. Maybe that wasn't meant to be. No, seriously, Rita, call in again. You're just not coming in. I wasn't hearing anything. Well, that's weird. That usually only happens on Skype, not on the phone line. That's really bizarre. Unless she's calling in on a cell phone or something. Or maybe she hung up, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, Rita, by all means, if you want to call in, I promise to behave. I had a nice nap, so I'm not quite as cranky today. All right, guys, I want to launch into a real clincher issue here. Now that we've established, hopefully, and if we haven't, stick around, it'll become even more clear as we go along, but having laid the foundation here that there is, in fact, one God, and that this one God is identified as the Father and the Father alone, and that Christ is not God, but, in fact, the Son of God, he is clearly distinguished from God. There is a sharp distinction made between him and God. He's not God. He is the Son of God, or the Son of the Father, as we saw. Well, that only makes sense since the Father himself is God. It makes sense that Christ is called both the Son of God and the Son of the Father, because it is, in fact, the Father who is God that he's the Son of. He's never called the Son of the Holy Spirit, and he certainly isn't called his own Son. Christ is not the Son of himself. It's ridiculous. And I asked a question yesterday, and I still hope you're pondering it. We're going to go into more detail on it later. But how can it be said that Christ is the Son of the Father if the Bible tells us he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is supposed to be a separate person from the Father? Obviously, this entity called the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is not a separate entity from the Father, not a separate person from the Father. If Christ is called the Son of the Father and he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, do you see my point? Trinitarians want you to believe that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is another person. That is complete, utter hogwash. All right, guys, another commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Hopefully Rita in Texas, I do hope you call back in because I don't want to just get people calling that agree with me. I'd like to get, you know, someone disagreeing. Anyway, I want to get into the heart of the matter now. Since I've already clearly demonstrated that God is in fact the Father, the Bible is very clear on that, and that Christ is his Son, now I want to answer the question, when did Christ become God's Son? This is a key issue. Trinitarians teach that when Christ came to earth, he became God's Son. Trinitarians, and I want to emphatically state this very clearly, Trinitarians do not believe that Christ is literally God's Son. They're the ones who are heretics, folks. The Bible says that we must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't confess that Jesus is the Son of God. They deny that Jesus is the Son of God. They only believe that Christ is playing make-believe, that he took upon himself the position of the Son of God when he came to earth, that he was God and never has been God and still is God, but that as one of the persons of God, he became incarnated in Mary's womb. And thus, when he was born of Mary, he became the Son of God, but still retaining his, quote, Godship. That is not the Son of God. Jesus, the Bible teaches, is literally the Son of God. And he did not become the Son of God when he came here. He already was the Son of God. Somebody who called in yesterday quoted a very important verse in the Old Testament, Proverbs 30, verse 4, and it reads like this. Who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you can tell? There you go. Proverbs, or Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, knew 700 years before Christ even came to earth that God had a son. What is his name, the creator, and what is his son's name, if you can tell? The author of Proverbs, Solomon, knew that God had a son long before Christ ever came here. Yes, Christ has always been from the beginning, his beginning. Christ had a beginning. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, too. Oh, I know you don't like that, Trinitarians. You want us to believe that Christ existed without beginning like the Father, but that's not what the Bible teaches. It's very clear on this, and I hope you'll stay tuned because there's so many passages that demonstrate this. It absolutely boggles my mind that people don't see it. When I first discovered this, I was banging my head against the wall. I'm like, this is incredible. Trinitarians have got to be the most gullible people in the world. It's like people who believe the official 9/11 story. There's so many avenues to disprove it, so many points of contention with it. It's impossible, and so is the Trinity. It's absolutely impossible. But it's because people don't do their homework. They don't look at all these problems, all these passages that fly in the face of the Trinity doctrine. They sweep them under the rug. When you throw these passages at a Trinitarian, they'll run the other way. They'll totally ignore you because it doesn't fit with their understanding, and they can't explain it. So they'll dodge your questions. Throw some of these passages at a hard-nosed Trinitarian sometime and listen to what they don't say. Listen how they don't answer you. They'll squirm because they're touting a lie. And when they refuse to answer and run the other direction, they're proving right there that it's a lie. And they're demonstrating that they would rather believe a lie than acknowledge they're wrong and that what you're saying is true. We can see from this verse, obviously, that Solomon was aware, long before Christ came, that God had a son. Christ, again, did not become the Son of God. He was the Son of God long before he came here. This is perfectly consistent with 1 John 4:10, where we are told of how God sent his Son into the world. Herein is love, John said, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent his Son. How can you send your Son if he was not your Son until after he was sent and conceived in Mary's womb? He didn't send one who became his Son. He sent his Son. He was already his Son when he was sent. Obviously, Christ was already God's Son before he was sent. Notice the following parallel passages. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, Galatians 4:4. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, 1 John 4:14. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, Romans 8:3. What did God do? He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Who did God send? He sent his own Son. He didn't send his co-equal who has existed from time immemorial without beginning to become his Son. He sent one who was already his own Son. Am I reading into things that aren't in the Bible, or am I stating straightforward what the Bible does say and just so happens, unfortunately, not to coincide with the false doctrine of the Trinity? God sent his own Son in the likeness of flesh. He didn't become his Son when he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. or he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Am I making Paul say something he isn't saying? No. And you know it too, don't you, Trinitarians? Which is why you aren't calling in. You never do. You never confront people who actually know what they're talking about and who can finally silence your foolish ramblings with your schizophrenic triune false god. I have every reason to be talking obnoxiously like this. I've done my homework, and I earned my battle scars over this issue, being fired by those phony hucksters who knew full well they couldn't refute me. So they had to do what they did behind closed doors. They had to fire me without inviting me to my own inquisition. They gave me a post-mortem inquisition and told me who I could bring and who I couldn't. And that if I invited anyone beyond the people they already personally asked, little hand-picked lapdogs, they were going to cancel the meeting. Then they didn't want it recorded. I mentioned all this. I don't need to repeat it. Let me go on with other verses that make this same point very clear. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or appeared on earth, that he might destroy the evil works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Here's another. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should might be saved. John 3:17. Who did God send into the world? God sent his Son into the world. Do you see the power of deception of Trinitarianism? They have you believing something that isn't stated in the Bible and ignoring what the Bible does state. Trinitarians read these verses all the time, but it's never sunk in what it really means. God sent his Son into the world. God sent his Son into the world. God did not come to the world himself. God sent his Son into the world. How can you possibly make it any more clear than this? But oh, the power of deception has people believing that Jesus is not the Son of God, that he's God himself. Where does it say it? Here's another one. She, Martha, Lazarus's sister, said unto him, to Christ, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Martha knew that the Son of God was going to be coming into the world. She read passages like Proverbs 30, verse 4, knowing that God had a son, that he was going to send him into the world. The Son of God, which was to come into the world. That's literally how that verse is translated. John 11, 27. In parable, Jesus made the following statement regarding the Father sending his Son to the world. He said, but last of all, he sent unto them his Son, saying, they will reverence my Son. Matthew 21, 37. Jesus here is saying that the Father said, finally, he's giving a story here, a parable about how he's referring to how God in the Old Testament had sent prophets among Israel, and Israel stoned them. They blacklisted them. They put them to death. And then he said, finally, the king said, I will send them my son. They will reverence my son. Of course, they didn't do that. They nailed him to the cross. But do you see what Christ is saying here? God made a decision. I will send my son. Who did God send into the world? He sent his son. He didn't send his co-equal so that he could become his son. Where do you find that in the Bible, Trinitarians? Call me up and give me even one verse where the Bible says that God sent his co-equal, that God came into the world. There isn't one passage. Instead, the Bible says God sent his son into the world. Christ was already his son when he was sent into the world. David, who lived long before Christ and his incarnation, long before Christ's incarnation in human flesh, that is, was aware that God had a son as well. In Psalm 2, verse 11 and 12, he wrote, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. David here is referring to the Lord and to his Son. And you will notice in the King James and in other translations that the word son there is capitalized. because they recognize that this is obviously referring to Christ, the Son of God. It is. There are numerous references in the Old Testament referring to the Son of God, singular, the Son of God that was sent into the world. Christ was the Son of God before he came here, folks, and guess what? That destroys the Trinity doctrine right there. How could Christ be the Son of God before he came to earth? Trinitarians have no answer for this. Because, again, they want you to believe that Christ only became the Son of God when he was born in Mary's womb. But if he's the Son of God before he came here, the whole Trinity doctrine is destroyed. Because Christ was never the co-equal with God then, who has existed without beginning. If Christ was the Son of God before he came here, obviously, he must have been born of God at some time long before he came to this world. And he was. The Bible makes that clear. And we're going to be looking at those verses. What are you going to do now, Trinitarians? Are you going to acknowledge you've been wrong and that you've been deceived? Or are you going to still continue to believe the lie and ignore what the Bible says and call people like me heretics? Yeah, the truth hurts, doesn't it? It sucks sometimes. It sucked for me, let me tell you. I went through living hell when I found this out. Not because of the way they treated me, but because I was forced to admit that this beloved religious cult that I belonged to was a scam and was scamming me. Do you know how much I believed and wanted to believe with all my heart that that cult I belonged to was telling me the truth and being honest with me? Do you know what hell I went through? Oh, it was not pleasant, but I knew in my heart I could not continue to pledge allegiance to that system that I knew was lying to me, because the book that they were professing to follow, that I believed they were following, was teaching something entirely different, totally contrary to what they were shoving down my throat. I could not ally myself with that system anymore, but it was painful to have to acknowledge that my professors were liars. And then when I saw how they mistreated me, how they lied to me, oh, it was hell on earth, folks. But again, I will take the bitter truth any day over the sweet lie, and I hope you will too. Not just when it comes to things like 9/11, but things like this as well. If you love the truth, you're going to love it no matter what form it comes in, no matter what subject area we're talking about. You're not going to just love it partially in one area, or else you're a phony like they are, folks. That's all there is to it. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And again, for you non-believers, this still should be important to you. Because again, whether you believe in the Bible or not, people in the religious world certainly do, and when they're compelling people to believe things that aren't in the Bible, this should concern you as well. This is another element of truth that people are being lied to about. Professing to follow the Bible, and yet they're teaching something that isn't in there. Let me continue on here. Even a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who lived roughly 500 years before Christ came to earth, was aware that God had a son. Here's what he said. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the fiery furnace." This is when Daniel and his three friends were thrown into the fiery furnace. But instead of seeing four, he said, "Lo, I see," or instead of seeing three, I'm sorry, it was his three friends that were thrown in, not Daniel. He says, instead of seeing three, he says, "Lo, I see four men in the furnace walking amidst the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Daniel 3:25. King Nebuchadnezzar was aware, long before Christ came here, that God had a son. How amazing. God really did give up his son for us. How many times do Trinitarians cite John 3:16? "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." What does that verse say? Who did God give? God did not give his co-equal, who had existed without beginning, who has the same position, power, and prerogatives as the Father. No, God so loved the world that he gave his son. You see, that's supposed to be the real beauty of the good news of the gospel. God loved us enough to give up his only son. He didn't give up his co-equal. He gave up his only beloved son. That's what he gave up. That's why his love is so tremendous. He gave up his literal son, his flesh and blood, if you will. Now, obviously, this implies Christ had a beginning, doesn't it? If Christ was, in fact, the Son of God before he was sent, and I hope you can clearly see he was, The Bible is very clear on this. You'd have to do some serious twisting and get out several bottles of whiteout and scratch out multitudes of biblical passages to deny that Christ was the Son of God before he came here. And we're going to get even more clear on that as we continue. But since he was the Son of God before he came here, obviously there must have been a time where he had a beginning, where God literally gave birth to him. Well, guess what? That is exactly what the Bible teaches, my Trinitarian friends. It's very clear on this. Before examining some of these biblical references to Christ's pre-incarnate birth, telling of his origin, let me first make it clear that I am not suggesting that Christ was created. To create something means you take material outside yourself and form it into something of use or value. That isn't the case with Christ. Christ literally came forth from the person of God. He is literally the flesh and blood of God, if you will. And the Bible's clear on this. Stick with us. We'll be right back. We'll see passages that support this. I'm not making this up, folks. It's right there in your face.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Attention. This is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. Had a problem during the break, so I'm on the phone. Hopefully we can get that resolved. I'll be back on Skype. But I'm glad it chose to happen during the commercial and not during the actual broadcast. All right, let me get into the real meat here, guys. We've been talking about Christ being the Son of God before he came to this world, and therefore, that would imply that he had a beginning. And yes, that is exactly what the Bible says. Let's take a look at some fascinating passages that tell us of this amazing moment in history, long before man's creation, when God somehow brought forth, or gave birth, if you will, to Christ from his very person. The Bible teaches this very, very clearly. And you will not see these verses discussed in Trinitarian churches. They ignore them like the plague, or they might quote them, but they'll brush over them very quickly. They won't elaborate on them, and they'll ignore the specific part of the passage that clearly indicates that Christ had a beginning. Here's one, for example, Micah 5:2. Actually, this is a famous passage. It's a prophecy of the coming Messiah of Christ, showing how he would be born in Bethlehem. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee he shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." Now here's the clincher. It ends with this phrase, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." This again is a prophecy of Christ's birth in Bethlehem, but it also foretells how he had a beginning. His goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. This one who will be born in Bethlehem had an origin, had a time where he had a beginning. We are told of two distinct things here about Christ, that he would come forth out of Bethlehem unto me, the Father, God, and that his goings forth were from old, from everlasting. In other words, we are told of Christ having two beginnings. One was in Bethlehem, of course, when he began his earthly ministry as a human being, born in human flesh. But also we are told that he had a goings forth, or a point of origin, from a time so remote in the past that it can be called from old, from everlasting. Everlasting in the past, as far as we're concerned, but nevertheless, a point in time where there was, in fact, a beginning. The words goings forth in Micah 5:2 come from the Hebrew word motza. This word carries the meaning of A, origin, B, act or place of going out from. Yes, Christ had an origin, a going forth from God before his human incarnation. This would explain why the Bible says that God gave his only begotten Son and that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. Christ was obviously God's only begotten Son before he came to this world. Or to put it another way, Christ was begotten by God before he came here. This is the big secret that Trinitarians don't want you to know about. This is why they'll avoid, like the plague, passages like this, or sections of passages like this that make statements like this. They cannot answer it because it doesn't jive with their Trinitarian theology, and they know they'll be in the unemployment line if they don't explain it away or get you to conform. It's a scam, guys, like so many other things in this world. We are lied to on a scale that blows the mind. Short break. We'll be right back.
With recent internet